Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. This is a special bonus episode where we are checking out a Netflix film from 2023. It's the epic space opera Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. This is directed by Zack Snyder. It stars Sophia Boutella, Jamon Honsu, Ed Schrenk, Michelle Hoosman, Duna Bay, Ray Fisher, Charlie Hunnam, and Anthony Hopkins. I'm Jesse. I'm your host. What a good time to sort of chat about Rebel Moon. I had every intention to put together a podcast for this film when it came back in December of 2023. We're now sort of 4 months into 2024, and the sequel, Part 2, has just arrived. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get onto it now. I'm going to do it so I can watch the second one. As always, if you haven't seen the film, the first part of Rebel Moon, I'm not really going to talk about the second one because I will put out a episode for the second part very, very shortly. But if you haven't seen the first part and you're interested in it, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on, because I'm going to spoil the film as we go and talk about the film and how it sort of ended up on Netflix and all that sort of stuff. We do kick off our show with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one's about a village that comes under threat by evil rulers, and a group is formed to fight back. Intriguing. Intriguing. Hopefully that sort of gives you the gist of the film. There's so much to this film because the cast's big, the characters are big, the runtime's big, everything about this is big, the budget, etc. So let's talk about how this arrived on Netflix, I guess. And we've sort of, you know, this is a Zack Snyder product, so he's been working on this for quite a long time. So the film Rebel Moon, it's inspired by the works of Akira Kurosawa, the Star Wars films, and Heavy Metal magazines. And the logo for the film is a homage to that later, to the latter. Snyder initially conceived the idea for this film in college, when he was in college, before discussing it with John Stad, who's the co-writer, back in 1997. Snyder pitched this as a Star Wars film to Lucasfilms shortly after its sale to the Walt Disney Company in 2012. He also pitched his idea as both a video game and a film to Warner Brothers Pictures as well, a couple of times apparently. So the project was at one point planned as an original television series by Snyder and producer Eric Newman before he pitched it to Netflix, and that's how we've got it. So Netflix Films chairman Scott Stuber, he did have some concerns that the project would underperform due to its length, and Snyder was unwilling to lose all of the characters, so he decided to split the film into two parts. That's why we've got two parts. Filming for Rebel Moon did commence on April 19th, 2022, with Snyder sharing the first images from the set on Twitter that day. Snyder also serves as cinematographer on this film as well. Filming ran right through till December 2nd, 2022, with 152 days of filming taking place in California, which sort of tapped into $83 million worth of qualified spending and tax incentives. Stuart Martin, Cary Elwes, Rian Rees, and Ray Porter acted out and recorded the film script for Snyder to listen to while he was preparing for the day's shoot. They also appear in the film as characters too. The second part, not the second part, but for the two parts of the film, the below-line wages for Californian workers and payments was about $166 million, so quite a bit of money spent on this. August 20, 2023, the titles for the two parts were reported to be The Child of Fire and The Scargiver. 2 days later, on the 22nd of August, Zack Snyder appeared at Gamescom opening night to present the teaser trailer for the two parts, which confirmed the titles as well. Rebel Moon did have a limited theatrical release on 70mm film in four major cities across the world, in Los Angeles at the Egyptian Theatre, so the theatre owned by Netflix, in New York City at the Paris Theatre, in Toronto at the TIFF Lightbox, and in London at the Prince Charles Cinema on the 15th of December 2023, before the streaming debut on Netflix on the 22nd of December. After premiering on Netflix on the 22nd of December, the film garnered 23.9 million views in 3 days, making it the number one most viewed English language film on the service from December 18 to 24, also making it the ninth best debut for a Netflix original film released in the year of 2023. The film stayed in first place with 34 million views in its first full week of availability following its debut weekend. The week after that, the film slipped to second place with 11.1 million views. In its fourth week, it dropped to eighth place with 3.9 million views, and the film also earned an overall worldwide total of 72.9 million views. So actually watched by quite a lot of people. there is, and there's been a lot of talk about this, obviously in relation to the second one as well, but there's an R-rated extended or director's cut set for release sort of later in 2024. And the sequel, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, was released on the 19th of April, 2024. Snyder stated that his intent is for Rebel Moon, or the series, to become a massive IP and a universe that can be built out. A role-playing video game based on Rebel Moon was in development as of March of 2023, alongside an animated short and a graphic novel. A novelization of the film written by V. Castro was also published by Titan Books on December 26, 2023, and Snyder announced in July of 2023 plans for a TV series focusing on the character Bella Sirius. At GamesCon in August of 2023, Snyder announced that Super Evil Megacorp, what a funny name, was developing a four-player co-op action game that would be exclusively available on the Netflix Games platform. In September of 2023, Evil Genius Games actually sued Netflix for terminating a deal that allowed them to produce a tabletop role-playing game set in the Rebel Moon universe as well. A four-issue prequel comic entitled Rebel Moon House of the Blood Axe by writer Madeline Visaggio and artist Clark Bint was published by Titan Comics in January of 2024. Set 5 years before the events of the film, the comic depicts the backstory for the characters of Devra and Darian Bloodaxe. In November of 2023, a narrative podcast, an animated comic book, and an animated series were announced to be in development, with each project taking place chronologically before the feature films. The animated short is set to tell the story of the Kali, the shadowy figures who power the Motherworld's most dangerous technology. Wow, that's a lot. There's an awful lot there to sort of take in about. That's just part one and what's happening in this world, I guess, of Rebel Moon. The tagline, this film did have a tagline. It's called, or it's it come, it says, War Comes to Every World. Just a bit of a rubbish tagline. Translations across the world. So most of them did use Rebel Moon and then sort of part one and then a subtext. So for English, obviously, it's A Child of Fire. In Spanish and Portuguese, it's Rebel Moon Fire Girl. In Mandarin, it's called Daughter of Fire, Moon of Rebellion, Rebel Planet, or Moon Rebel, so it has multiple different titles there. So obviously Japanese 2 goes with Flame Girl, so this is all obviously focusing on the female protagonist as the main character. That's where I think the Vietnamese title sort of gets it a little bit wrong. The subtext in Vietnamese is Son of Fire, so interesting. It's always interesting to look at translations around the world too. Oh no, we won't talk about the critics yet. Well, obviously I've said that it was released on Netflix on the 22nd of December 2023. Budget of $166 million, which is shared with part two. So, you know, you split it between the two films. Filmed in California, a few places in Europe too. Actually nominated for a few awards. It was nominated at the Casting Society of America Awards for the Zeitgeist Award, the Hollywood Makeup Artist and Hairstylist Guild Awards for Best Special Makeup Effects in a Feature-Length Motion Picture, and nominated for Excellence in Sci-Fi / Fantasy Film at the Costume Designer Guild Awards. It actually won Excellence in Costume Illustration at these awards. So one win, obviously all about the crafts for this film. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? This is where a lot of people are going to see. If they look up this film, this is what they're going to see. Rotten Tomatoes sits at 21%. That's rotten on 173 critic reviews. The audience, higher. It's going to be hard to be lower than that. 57%. That's on over 5,000 ratings. So 57% is still pretty low. IMDb sits at a 5.6 out of 10. So very similar to the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. That's on 107,000 ratings. Then we look at Letterboxd, which has got the highest sort of viewership of this film. It sits at a 2 out of 5, so extremely low. That's on 119,000 ratings, but it's actually been logged by 138,000 people. That's a lot of people. Metacritic, obviously the critics don't like this. It sits at a 31 out of 100 on 40 critic reviews on the traffic light system. That is red. And the audience, a little bit higher, 5.5 out of 10 on 608 reviews. So that's in that yellow section of the traffic light thing. I actually had a Netflix percentage match for this film. I had 95%, this is back in December when it came out, 95% that I would like this film. So I don't know whether Netflix are sort of fudging the numbers to try and get people to like it. I think it's super, super interesting that, 95%, it's very hard that I haven't really come across such a high percentage match. I think too, if you think back to December last year when Maestro, the Bradley Cooper film hit Netflix, that was sort of the first film to use the new Netflix logo. I think this is possibly the second film to use that new Netflix intro as well. All right, what are my early thoughts? What are my early thoughts on this film? And I said before, I had every intention, I guess, of watching this film when it came out. I took notes on the film, ready to do the podcast, and I just got distracted, I guess, by all the bad press and whether I could actually hack the film. I'm glad I went back to it. It's nowhere near as bad as everyone says. Yes, it's long. Yes, there's really little about the characterization. Yes, it rips off every genre you could think of, and the exposition dumps throughout. They're not great, but it's fun. It's fun. The visuals are good. I mean, how can you not get excited about a new franchise that's got a cool looking world, some cool characters, something that's different, that's not a Marvel film, even if it does rip off every other film you could think of? So I'm not negative about this film at all. The characters, let's talk about the characters in this film. There are so many characters in this. I guess I'm going to touch on most of them just because I don't know their importance into the second one. But as I said sort of before as well, there's not a lot sort of behind the characterizations of these characters. So I guess as you look at with the actual title of the film, our main character is Cora, or also known as Athalaeus. And she's a former Imperium soldier who, in this film, rallies warriors from across the galaxy to fight against this motherworld. She's a child of war. She doesn't know how to love and has almost been brainwashed, I guess, from when she was taken as a child. And she's the most wanted person in the galaxy because of desertion. So interesting character is the main role in this film. Then we've got a few other side characters. These are some people, I guess the complete opposite of her is Atticus Noble. He's the villain of this film. He's an admiral, and he belongs with this Belisarius dude, and he's sort of his right-hand man. And we see that Belisarius is this character that sort of develops Cora into the soldier that she is too. But if we go back to Atticus Noble, he's this harsh character. He doesn't care what he does. He doesn't keep his word. He's the one that's chasing them throughout the film. Gunner is the other guy from Cora's sort of farm where she's living, I guess, and he's secretly in love with her, I guess, and he joins her in her attempts to defend his home world. Then the rest of these characters, I guess, are people that Cora and Gunner sort of get on their quest with them or join alongside them. So Titus is this former general of the Imperium. He's disgraced. He's become a drunk, and he's recruited to sort of lead this fight alongside Cora. We've got Nemesis, who's this cyborg sword master who's on a mission to avenge the death of her own children. Darian Bloodaxe, he's got a sister called Devra. These two, they sort of work out. He's a warrior. He comes along on the journey with Cora, but the sister Devra, she doesn't. We also see Tarak. He's this nobleman turned blacksmith who's sort of a slave, I guess, and he's got the ability to bond with animals. I sort of mentioned Devra before. I'm thinking she's probably going to play a bigger part, Darian's sister, in part two, possibly to avenge his death. And I've said there's going to be spoilers. Kai is this other guy who's a mercenary who sort of jumps on board, played by Charlie Hunnam. He's the pilot and helps him get around, I guess. His only motivations in this film are money. That's very, very clear. Back on the homeland, we've got Den, who's a farmer, apparently has a fling with Cora, I think. We've got Hagen, who's a friend of Cora, who helped her rebuild her life after she abandoned and sort of took her in under his wing on this farm. Then we're talking about, I guess, some of the other people. We've got Cassius, who's the villain noble. He's one of his warriors. We've got Milius, who's this rebel fighter that also joins alongside Cora and is one of Devra's people, I guess. We have, I don't know, do I even bother? Like Arius, I guess I'll talk about this young soldier who comes to the farm and he sort of stands up for the bad actions of some of the other soldiers. Sam's this chick, she's a water girl and sort of is a sweet character. I'm not sure if we're going to see more of her in the second film. And I guess that sort of goes alongside this robot, Jimmy, played by Anthony Hopkins. I guess we're going to see him a little bit too. And then we have this alien king called Levitica who we see at some stage in the film too. There's all these other characters. I'm going to stop. That's way too many already. So Zack Snyder, the director. Everyone knows Zack Snyder. Love him or hate him. Sucker Punch, Watchmen, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, his Justice League version. I guess Netflix-wise, Army of the Dead is another sort of franchise he's kicked off on Netflix too. We've got a bonus episode on Army of the Dead, and then there was a sequel as well, which wasn't actually directed by him, but it's a part of that world too. I think he does have another film coming out in that series as well. All right, scenes. What are some scenes that stood out? What are some things that I didn't like in this film? It's hard. I enjoyed the film, and you know, it's really long. There's not a lot that stands out, really. I think that the things that were enjoyable, there's a scene where Cora sort of, we see this changing moment in her where she sees Sam's being attacked. She comes to save her, and then we just see her take out everyone. Like, obviously a lot of Zack Snyder slow-mo. The battle was cool. I liked that. I didn't mind. There's a flashback sort of moment where we see Cora as a young child and how Belisarius sort of saves her and sort of develops her as a soldier. That was good for context. The other fight that I liked in this, I guess, was Nemesis, this sort of sword warrior who takes on this spider. I think it was called like Humana or something. It's kind of weird, but it was okay. Things I didn't like in this film. There's a lot of sexualized references that I'm not sure were needed. I don't think they added anything to the film, especially like there's lines like thrusting of the hips and making love for the harvests. I don't know, it didn't add anything. And the same idea with like, there's this attempted sexual assault of Sam and the comments that were made towards her along the lines of like, I'll tie it all post and you can watch me turn her into a whore. Why? I don't know. It just didn't make sense. Another thing that I wasn't a big fan of, there's this sort of moment where Cora and Gunham go into this bar. It's like a Western genre ripoff of like that Star Wars cantina bar. And there's like this gross alien in there. It's almost like reminiscent, made me just think of like, is this like the Han Solo moment? Who shot first? Who's wrong? Who's right? I don't know. That scene just didn't work. Tarax, I mentioned before, Tarax is this guy who can talk to creatures and he talks to this bird like thing. I think it was called like Bennu. This scene literally dragged on, it was like a Game of Thrones like cutaway where he flies around on this bird. It's like a dragon and it was pointless. Unless he gathers like an army of animals in the second part. I don't know. That just didn't make sense. And finally, they go to get Titus and he's like, you know, this buff dude who looks like he's a mass killer. It's almost like a Colosseum sort of thing where he takes people out and, you know, he's just like, go away, leave me alone. I want to be left alone. And then like, I think Cora mentions the word revenge and then we just get this long stare at the camera and it's like, he's just in. I don't know. I know that like it's a long film already, but that was not great. What's this film trying to say? What are some themes, some ideas? Obviously, standing up against oppression and for what you believe in. I think that plays throughout. That idea of redemption too, trying to redeem yourself, especially the people on the farm. That idea of connection to the land and the community, and also kindness too. You know, being kind to those that are kind to you. I think that's there too. What did I take away from this film? Everything is a remix. I teach this idea in class. There's a really good little sort of series on YouTube, I guess, where I can't remember the guy's name, but he goes along and looks at music and he looks at computer software. He looks at film and how everyone's inspired by something else. And there's words like, I think it's like copy, combine, transform is like that motto that it goes on. This is the perfect example of this. This is a remix of so many different stories, genres, films, all that sort of stuff. And Zack Snyder's just put together everything that sort of influenced him into this one film. So I guess what I'm saying is everything is a remix. Check it out on YouTube. You might enjoy it. I really enjoy looking at that. Questions, ponderings, thoughts, ideas on this film. Heading into the second one. I haven't watched the second one yet. I know a lot of people probably have, so you're probably going to know the answer to these questions already. But these obviously just sort of loose ends, I guess, from the first film. That idea, we get this flashback of the princess that Cora was supposed to be protecting and she's assassinated as well as the king and the queen. And I just wanted to know, like, apparently she can bring animals back to life. So, you know, are we, like, it's a big plot point. Are we going to see her more in the second film? I don't know.
I mean, the biggest one, I guess, is Cora and Gunner. Are they going to get together in part two? I would say so. Jimmy the Robot, obviously, he's got to have a bigger part in the second film. We see him right at the end of the film. He's got to come back. Overall, this film, it's like a setup film. It's literally getting all the characters ready for an adventure. I get Snyder probably wanted it all to be one story, realistically, but it does sort of feel, yeah, is it a whole full narrative? Maybe not. Aris, I mentioned this guy, the soldier who had the good in him. I can't remember if he survived. If he did survive, is he still at the farm? I can't remember that one either. That robot, Jimmy the Robot, he gets told to go clean himself in the river. Ever heard of Rust? That one just seemed really weird to me. Eurykis, there's those animal-like horse things that they ride. Interesting creature, cool sort of design. Like, do they eat them? Like, they're always talking about starving and stuff like that. Looks like they've got a whole herd of them that they can ride around. Why not eat them? And Darien. Darien and Kai, we both sort of see that they probably were killed at the end in that final battle. Their demise occurred. Noble survived, though, so
Is there a chance that they both survive too? Or is that going to be character motivation for the Darian sister to sort of be like, cool. And Kai, he was a villain. So, or is there going to be a redemption in part two? I don't know. I know all of these have probably already been answered by people that have seen the second film, but I'm ready to wrap the first part up right now. We give the film a rating out of 5. For me, this looks good. It's got a lot of world building in it. I guess it sort of sets the tone for a big conclusion. I'm interested in this world and what else it has to say. So I guess my motto or my message is don't always listen to what the majority say, especially with this film. I'm giving this a 3 out of 5. We have socials. We have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have X, formerly known as Twitter. The question, we always put a question up. The question I wanted to put up for this episode is, will you or have you watched part two? I'm going to watch part two. I'm telling you right now because I'm going to put out a episode for part two in the coming days straight after this one. So obviously if you can give us a subscribe, like us on socials, do that sort of stuff, always helps other people to hear about the show. We do have a huge back catalog of Netflix original films, recent sort of bonus episodes, as well as that catalog of going back right from the start and going through the original films, 350 plus episodes. Hopefully you're keen to hear my thoughts on part two, the Scargiver, Rebel Moon, part two, the Scargiver. We'll be popping up on the feed very soon. As always, thanks for hanging out, and hopefully you'll be hearing my voice very shortly for part two.